all, welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Kubar. Today I have a very special guest, Ryan Knoll. Ryan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Oh, excellent, excellent. I'm glad that my son could at least figure it out for a little bit today so we can chat and get you on and ask about you and your writing and your book. So thank you so much for reaching out and joining us today. And can't wait to see what, topics we can discuss. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm really excited. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, not a problem. Not a problem. So we'll start there with that first question. What has your writing journey been like up until this point?
Well, it's been a journey, man. they say they give you kind of fire in you, whatever you can withhold. And that's kind of what it's been like. It's been really positive, even with the ups and downs and the challenges and that, though, because I've seen a lot of lives changed. And we've traveled a little over 9,000 miles this year. I mean, we've been really everywhere. I got to meet a lot of nice people in bookstores. I got to fly to UK and, do quite a bit. So I would say I definitely tremendously learned so much this year. Yeah. It's been a learning curve on many different areas, but it's fun being a writer and getting to inspire and tell people your story and, really make a difference. So I'm humble for that.
Yeah. I can totally understand that. I'm not in the fun part yet because I'm like still in beta draft, but I keep telling myself I'm almost to the fun part. I can't wait to get to the fun part. I'm like, I've done all this crap. I might as well get to the fun part. You finish up, and get to the fun part. So, but I could totally see that though, with, that's awesome that you guys got to, go to that many places and meet that many people. I think that's really cool in terms of the process. People always ask me, like, what's the greatest thing, about podcasting or being part of the book community and stuff. And I'm like, it's just like people, being cool. If you ever told me like 5 years ago, I think I started the podcast group for us on Facebook, like maybe 4.5 years ago, if you ever told me we'd get to like 3,000 members this week, I'd be like, no way. And like, actually people, I figured it would just be bots or something, people like yourself going in and, helping share stuff. And I've had people like constantly be like, oh, this is super cool. Like Justin Whitaker, the RPG author, just joined us. And it's so cool just to see people constantly, like really be part of the community and build a community. So I totally get it. Like, it's like those little things that you never thought would happen that end up being kind of the cooler things. So I get that.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the bookish community I've learned is really inspiring, and it really is a community. I mean, everyone kind of bands together to help people, and I mean, there's so many people in the same boat, or, they've done the same thing, or they've been the same place, or they've been where you're at. So it's really that fellowship, a community. It reminds me a lot of like the Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring, or they're all the same purpose and going, and that's how the bookish community and really libraries and other authors and events. I mean, people that love books, that's kind of what they do. They kind of band together.
Yeah, I totally agree. I can't remember if it was like, I swear to God, it was like my season one. I swear to God, it was like JCM Byrne. Like Joe was like, don't worry, I'll be your, I think he was like, I'll be your Samwise Gamgee. Because I was talking about like struggling through a draft. He's like, I will pick you up and carry you to Mordor. I don't know if it was like in our actual, one of our interviews, like the two interviews, or if it was just like before we got started. But I remember specifically, like he said something like that. I was just laughing so hard. He probably doesn't remember, but I was just like, dude, that is hilarious. And those are the kind of thoughts, right? Is that like kind of keep me going. So I like that analogy. That's really cool. Well, speaking of the Fellowship of the Ring, or Lord of the Rings, what genre or genres do you currently write in and why?
So the Flare Chronicles is an epic high fantasy. A lot of people compare it to Brian Sanderson or Lord of the Rings. It's very much Tolkien inspired in kind of that realm, that in D&D. And then I have a novella from my publisher in Australia that is going to be, it's like a vampire werewolf, so it's cool. Fantasy, but it's kind of like it takes place in a real town in Michigan, actually, in a little small cool. lake town in Michigan. So, but it's got the vampire and werewolf aspect. And then I have another novella that I hope to publish next year that is about dwarf and dragons and Loki and Thor and the gods of thunder and that. and it
Okay.
takes place in Norway. And then I have a spicy romance series as well that I'm hoping to get
Oh,
out
cool.
next year. So I really dive into really anything fantasy, I should say.
Well, I feel like that's fair because like people are like, oh, I write fantasy, and I'm then I don't know. Like sometimes I get into genre for like the writing aspect, right? But then other times I'm kind of get out. Like Clayton Snyder had his book Cold West, and that had to be one of the best books I've ever read. And it's like, people are like, how do you explain it? I'm like, it's a mix of Western, sci-fi, fantasy, and a little bit of horror, you know. And if that's your cup of tea, like that's the book, right? But it's like sometimes, you know, like Clayton's very like, I'm just gonna write what I want to write, and I don't care about genres, subgenres. But it's like it's always like a cool mashup, and I like mashups. I like sometimes, you know, like I think it's interesting, right? Because like as a writer, I like specific things, you know, to write specific things. But as a reader, I'll read anything to get better at writing, right? So I think it's interesting when you say, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna do this, and this within fantasy or the subgenre. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've always loved fantasy. I mean, I was reading fantasy, gosh, probably, I think fifth, sixth grade is the earliest I can remember. But, I used to read like 300 books a year, every school year in middle school. I mean, I just loved reading. I love fantasy that much. And, I've thought about writing a thriller or horror or something like that just to, just to see. But I'm better at fantasy, and that's kind of where, my eggs and noodles kind of cook in, so to speak, but I love books in general, so it's just a cool being an author and being able to see your stuff published and write,
I was just curious, like, because I know the first, like, T.A. Bruno is probably the first, like, real, you know, like fantasy author, with his Merlin and the Lost Years series. I just absolutely love those books. So you're speaking like fifth, sixth grade. That's like pretty much when I discovered those. So that's probably like really like I remember like they had those little Indiana Jones books, right? That were super young Indiana Jones that were cool. But like, do you remember like what one of the first fantasies at that time that you know maybe you got into? Like maybe like I did Dragon Riders of Pern was really cool. I was just curious.
Yeah, so I read a lot of D&D, Dungeons and Dragons, and then there was a Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance. There was
Oh.
something that spun from that. Yeah, so I played a
Yeah.
lot of the game.
Those games
I
are
was
awesome.
big. They were. I still have them for my PS1.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so I was a big PlayStation nerd. Definitely was all PlayStation in the house and PC. And so, I played a lot of fantasy games and D&D. I used to do that quite a bit growing up, and that really kind of hooked me in. Now, the really, I'd say the first, like, not really adult, but the more like middle school grade, was besides the Dragonlance series, it was
Oh, I love that
the I know I've got like 80 books of them, so
series.
yeah, but there's a lot. But so that, and then Redwall, and
Oh, man.
Aragon, Harry Potter, but definitely Redwall was one of them, and then Aragon, and then Dragonlance. And they've really been big influences in my life just because they're so well written. I mean, they got a cool map too. I mean, you gotta love a cool map.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a must for like fantasy authors is like if you don't love fantasy cartography, like what are you doing in the genre? I actually had somebody on here that like was a fantasy author that like doesn't like maps, and I was like, who are you? And I was like, people always talk about imposter syndrome. I was like, imposter. I was like, I love cartography. I'm a geography minor, so I was like, I love fantasy maps. We had so many cool ones, Forgotten Realms, like you said, Dragonlance with Kran and everything, right? Like there's so many cool ones that came out of it's like the 70s to early 2000s for different, you know, like you said, like Dungeons and Dragons, Pathfinder, Eberron, like I mean you name it, there was a cool flipping map somewhere with, you know, whatever the book series or you know where the game
I know,
was.
man. It's that 90s era kid, the really 90s, 80s era when all the cool maps, that was a big kind of boom. So I'm very much, I grew up in the 90s. I'm very much old school. I mean, we collect, Blu-rays and 4K movies and physical books and data and, all this stuff that just, I mean, you got to be a 90s or 80s kid. to know it, you know what I mean? I mean, my boys
Yeah,
are dancing to Backstreet Boys, you know, trying to learn the dance move. So, yeah.
I actually really love, physical comics. I'm like, I maybe don't get as many, as I used to, but there's like specific ones, particularly indie, or like Titan took over like Conan the Barbarian and the new Savage Sword like magazine. Oh my God,
Yep.
the art's amazing, the writing's great. I'm like, but I try to explain to them, I'm like, you're literally like books, right? Like there's so many just amazing works of art on the covers too, right? Like for me, it's the art. Yeah, and they just don't, yeah, they don't really seem to understand that. And I'm like, I own those, right? Like nobody could, nobody could take them unless they try to physically take them from me. So yeah, they just don't get it.
I know, man. It's a digital world. I mean, it's good and bad, but it's kind of like I forget which one. It might have been Sony or somewhere, but people had a bunch of like digital movies, and the movie place, they basically deleted them, the servers and stuff, and then everyone got all upset. And I'm like, if you read the user notice, it states that your digital media is not yours. Like you're giving them the right.
And now
So
Kindle did the same thing. So
it's
they got rid of Patricia Briggs. They like switched, and my friend goes, "Hey, like three of her audibles didn't make it, and they have to like redo them with like I can't remember it was like who it was Tantor or whatever or ACX." So they're like redoing her like three of her books before like Amazon essentially like or Audible. I like, got the full rights, so the rights timed out. I'm like, so are you gonna give me like $60 in credit, for the books that I'm missing? I was like, that's crazy. Like but it's like it's wild, right? Yeah, because they had those little addendums. My students, because they teach social studies, I was like, read the fine print. Like that's fair. Like, so yeah, it's like totally a thing now. It's crazy. So in terms of that next question, so what are your books, The Flare Chronicles, about, and how'd you come up with this idea?
So the Flare Chronicles is basically your epic D&D mash with Lord of the Rings. So it does have some questing involved, but it is the D&D style, like very similar to Dungeons and Dragons, because I make my own maps. So I love maps just like you, and I make my own maps. I've made my own map for the Spicy Romancy series, and then the Flare Chronicles, I made my own map there as well. It's got all your dragons, and I made my own dragon race too. I made my own
Oh,
towns
cool.
and my magic language, castles, elves, my own elf, and I even made my own like English is kind of like old forgotten English, but there was a different
Oh,
word
cool.
for it in the series. I love creating things. So basically, Into the Blaze, which is the first one, that kind of gets you into the world and throws you into the land. And Into the Shadows, which is number two, that basically is a lot of mythology and lore and kind of the background of why the war is coming to Azeron, which is the land I made.
Oh, cool.
And more or less, the evil queen of the old gods was banished from the last war, and she's trying to come back. So when people read book one, they're like, okay, this is cool. It's got some cool action scenes and fantasy and magic. And then it leaves a huge cliffhanger. And then number two, people will see everything from book one. Why it kind of all the pieces hopefully fit together. If everyone's reading it, they'll understand more of book one, because that evil queen was kind of her puppeteer. She was spreading about and causing mischief and mayhem. Now there is a small quest, so I say Lord of the Rings because they got a quest like Frodo, and that, as any good fantasy generally has a quest or some hero involved in that. But everything's original, so it's more like D&D, Skyrim, that kind of thing, because it is all unique. The second part of your question, I want to give a huge shout out to teachers and everyone that is in the public service. Because my teacher, eighth grade teacher, she passed away because of breast cancer.
Oh,
She was
sorry
the
to hear that.
one. Thank you. She was really sweet, man. And my dad was a tool and die person. He's always been tool and die. So he's good with his hands, and he's good at building things and things like that, but he just doesn't read. He doesn't read a lot. And so she was the one that really believed in me, and she was like, hey, we're gonna have this, big project for eighth grade, and you were gonna write something original and unique that never has been written before. And at first I was like, why? I love to read, but I hadn't really, wrote before. And so that actually turned into the first prequel of the Flare Chronicles, which
Oh, that's
I'm
cool.
in the process of editing and adding more and things like that. Thank you. And then I wrote another one because she pulled me aside and was like, hey, you should write. You got the talent. You should keep doing this. And I'm like, man, this is not cool. Eighth grade to write. Like, no one said this is cool. And then all through high school is when I wrote the Flare Chronicles Into the Blaze, and I told everyone I was going to be a writer and publish someday. Now, of course, that's not the coolest thing to say either in high school, that you're going to be a writer, because people laugh at you. They don't tend to, they're teenagers, so.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, it's like my friend, like her and I both said that like years ago, and it's cool because like she actually just republished like two of her novels. Like she like published them the first time like with Vanity Presses or like herself, but then she's like redone them, and so it's really cool that she like this past spring. I haven't had a chance to get her on yet, but it's cool that like we were talking about all these same things we're talking about: Dragonlance, Lord of the Rings, all these things. And we were in like advanced lit and stuff for like for all 4 years together and stuff for like AP lit. And but it's like cool that she just published, like republished, her first book, and she's about to do her second. And then I'm doing the same thing this spring. So she was like, oh, we got to get together at some point and do like a book signing or something. I was like, yeah, it'd be awesome. And send them to our teachers or do like a gift basket or something, to the one of the teachers I didn't like, but the other three teachers I really did. But I totally get that. It's so nice as a teacher to hear that people are positive, because I have had people on here where they're like, oh, my teacher said I would never write, like I couldn't do it or whatever, and they proved them wrong. But and it's pretty rare, but it does really drive me insane, because I have kids all the time. They're like, oh, this, like whatever they're into, I'm like, let's do this thing. Like, what do we have to do to help you be successful? Like, how can we, help you figure it out? Like, I have a kid right now that loves Christine, loves Stephen King, Dean Koontz he's reading right now, and he really wants to, publish. So his private project, like personal project, is going to be, I'm going to help him with like peer editing and to set up like a whole system. And then I'm really trying to, I'm going to do like get covers. Like I'm redoing mine because I'm almost done. I just don't have time to Photoshop it. So, and I need all the digital things, and I just don't have time. I'm like $35, totally cool. But I'm going to help him to come up with his own cover. And the goal is to help him publish like digitally, and then to get like a physical copy. So I'm so glad that, she was encouraging for you for that. That's really, really awesome to hear. So.
Yeah, man, it was really I'm really humble for it. So I try to pay my respects to teachers, and I mean, thank you for teaching and impacting lives. And I have a lot of respect and honor for people who do that, or nurses or military forces or people who serve. But I always try to give that dedication to my teacher, no matter who I talk to, because I mean, I look back now, and I'm like, where would I be if that, she hadn't pulled me aside or like, hey, you should keep writing. And I'm like, oh, this is not cool. Like, I wouldn't be with friends or somewhere else.
Yeah,
But,
no, totally. I totally get that. Well, what's funny is I had somebody that like, you're always about teachers because you're a teacher. I'm like, well, not really. I'm like, I had amazing teachers, and my coaches were my teachers too at my high school, and they were like amazing. And like we won championships and stuff. My brother won championships. They actually just won their fourth in a row right now. But it's like my
that's
brother and I, it's
cool.
like yeah, it's
Congrats.
wild though. Yeah. They're just amazing people though, is the big thing, right? And like my bunch of like my sister-in-law is a nurse, a bunch of my aunts are nurses. Like I got a bunch of cousins and stuff that, and second cousins that are police officers. One of them's like a SWAT team, used to be like a SWAT team commander, and then a lot of different people, right? And but it's like always like serving someone in some way. So I totally get that. I'm like, and that's like who I was raised by. I was like everybody around us was mostly doing stuff like that. So it's like no wonder I was like, I always tease my mom, like I was screwed. Like you guys just like always are gonna make me a teacher or something, like social worker, nurse, something. Like maybe I would have done NICU nurse. I was thinking about that for a while. So it's like it always, yeah, but I totally get it. But it's nice, right? Because I feel like a lot of those are tend to be the type of people, right, that are used to nurturing, in some way because of the job. And I had a lot of police officers. It was like I looked up to, had coaches that were police officers in my hometown and stuff, and they were just so
Yeah.
good at, like being nurturers, really. They were pretty tough guys, but like,
Yeah.
don't get me wrong, but like, I mean, they were very nurturing, and they brought the best out of, people and myself. So I totally get that. So I think that's super, super cool.
Oh, thanks, man. I'm just humble more than anything. I mean, it's cool in a couple ways too, because like my wife's a CNA, she's a nurse, so
Oh, cool.
she's part of that every weekend
Yeah.
and doing the graveyard shift and helping
Yep.
people, and my oldest son, he's talking about going to missionary work, and
Oh,
serving the
cool.
poor and priesthood and that. So, it's really humbling to see. And then the girl that's sixth grader that's doing my cover for the journal, one of the main characters, Daniel, her dad I actually went to school with, and he went to the military, but he was one of the few people that, believed I'd be a writer and didn't think it was
Awesome.
laughing stock. And then so excuse me, so for me it's like full circle,
Yeah.
and just to give back to her and, kind of honor my teacher more and honor those people even more. So it's really a cool kind of thing that I never thought I'd be able to get to do or
Yeah.
experience, and I love giving back and helping the community. So
That's super cool. It's just cool that that's how it started for you, and then you've been, to all these places and, talk to a lot of bookstores, right? And bookshops, so just grinding. So I think that that's like super, super awesome. So that's super cool. But yeah, I mean, I think like you said, full circle. For me, it's like a story, right? We're writers. We like it when things come full circle. So I think it's even cooler when it happens, in real life. So I think that's like super cool. Now, if we could just talk a little bit about characters, though. So, when it comes to your characters, what do you do to ensure you write ones that readers care about?
I generally just try to make them relatable. At the end of the day, we're all going through the same thing, maybe just a little different spot in the country or world or different
Yeah.
spot in the head or age or I mean, we've all got the pain and sorrow and love and joy and hope and inspiration and everything in between, and we're all human at the end of the day. So I really just try to make my characters relatable, and that someone can put their self in their shoes and be like, hey, I was that guy. I've had to make that decision, or I've had to do that crazy thing, or I've been on
Yep.
that journey, and and people seem to relate. The interesting thing is that Daniel in the story, one of the main three. He was modeled after my younger brother Daniel. I
Oh,
helped
that's cool.
raise him and watch him grow. So yeah, it was cool like watching him grow and see that. And then also, I mean, he's 16 at the start of Into the Blaze, but to see just kind of how he grows from that to, I think it was around 18 by the third one, into adulthood after everything he's done, kind of embodies, my younger brother Daniel from being a baby and watch him grow to, he's 20 some years now. So, and then there was a girl named Trisha. She's one of the other main characters there, and she was actually modeled and named after a girl I dated named Trisha. I haven't seen in about 20 years. I hope one day I can find her again and tell her she's part of this great, cool
That's
story. But
cool. Yeah. That's cool. Well, it's cool. I always love to see where people create characters from, because I think, because this always goes to the Journeyman's podcast, or Journey People, whatever you want to say. I don't want to exclude anybody, but it's interesting to see where everybody does something different. I tend to look at media. So like, that like really dope like battle mage that was in The Witcher, and he had that like dope slick back hair, and he was just like awesome. He just made me, I was like, that guy is so flipping cool. So that's what I tend to do personally. And like, I'm a visual person because I was originally going into illustrating. So like way back in the day, but like art's my main medium originally. So I got into writing like later. And so for me, it's like, if I see a character, particularly when it comes to if someone shares a D&D character or something and it's really cool, I'm like, ooh, or like there's a battle scene, my mind's already whirling. So I have my wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, be down 2 hours on a rabbit hole, like with my son playing, I come back and I'm just like saving art. And she's like, "You're never gonna go back to this." Like, but I usually do, you know, at some point. So I'm like, I have a character in mind, and that's how I like create characters. So I just think it's really good to, you know, to show our audience, you know, like how you guys create characters, because everybody's different, you know. But you never know when somebody could, you know, be like, "Oh yeah, I have, you know, I didn't think of that. You know, Ryan made me think of this person that would make the perfect character in this spot in my book, you know." So I just think that's really cool to see what different people's styles are, because you never know what can help somebody at the end of the day. So I think that's super cool.
Yeah, thanks, man. I've had a lot of fun. I really try to make them unique, but at the same time, I do want to make them relatable. I feel like that conveys more like conviction when people are reading, because, you know, because I'm kind of visual in my head too. So I'm thinking in my head, like, if I was there, what would I be doing, or what would they be doing? And so I feel like if you make it relatable, then, you know, people can put themselves in that scenario or that situation and the character, and they can like visually or see it like you're watching a movie kind of thing. And the book two, Into the Shadows, is really cool, because I was able to not only show the story and like continuous, but also really show kind of like the inner demons that we all face and the dark side that we kind of are there. So it has that unique, what's the word? Has a unique like mirror for it, of that inner kind of darkness battle that we all face. So it was really fun writing the second book, because, you know, I can mirror it in the world and then the characters. And it was a dark time in my life when I wrote it, so it kind of, you know, went to the same timeline I was going through. So
No, I totally get that. It's like, like there's like different times where, well, like I like we're my buddy and I for a book club, we're actually reading Rhythm of War right now. So we're literally like 60% of the way through it. I know, right? And it's like there are so many times where like I did not like reading Way of Kings, because there were so many times that Kaladin reminded me so much of myself when I was in a certain mental state and having certain issues. And it was like I felt like I was good, and then I was boom, and then I was good, and I was and like he almost wrote it too well, in my opinion, for before he does like certain things. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but go read it, guys. But like you'll see what I mean, right? You're kind of like, are we done yet? And that's how I felt. And my best friend goes, because he's been with me the whole time, like our friendship is now like next year can drink, you know. So he's like, dude, he's like, you he called me out a little, like, hi Dave. He was like, dude, you don't like that because it reminds you and reflects so well of how you were feeling at this time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so true. So I think you're totally right. Like if you can really, whether it's good or bad, right? Dalinar, right? Capturing different things with Adolin, like as a father, right? Like he's like, or like there's one part in Rhythm of War where I'm not gonna spoil, but here he says something about what's his name? His other son, and I don't know, I'm blanking all of a sudden. I've been reading it all week, but I'm like, holy crap, that's how I feel about my kid. Like my kid literally like picked me up when I was broken, and you know, helped me to do X, Y, and Z. And it's just like there's so many emotions I think he just hits so well that are relatable, even in a fantasy setting. So I think that makes total sense. Just a couple of examples of, you know, what you're saying. And I think that's super, super cool that you're especially able to expand that, you know, in book two. So that's really awesome.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun with this. So, yeah, right. You got to enjoy it. You got to enjoy the journey and the ride. And, you know.
I'm getting back to that. I'm getting back to that. I'm like, oh, I know I'm on the right track, because I'm finally like, oh, this is getting fun again, if that makes sense. So
Right.
if it's not fun, there's something in my opinion, there's something usually I find that I'm doing wrong, right? If I'm like not having fun, and maybe I'll stop a little bit, and then I'll go and do something. This novella I'm writing has been the hardest thing, because it's like there's so many times, right, where I'm like going back, or I'll be like, and I had amazing alpha reader feedback, but it's like that's why I'm like, am I having fun? And then I'm like, I'll stop, and I'll be like, why am I not having fun? And sometimes it takes a couple weeks, right, with life and stuff for things to click. So, but I think that's the fun part, right? I think that's when you know when you're back on track personally, is I think when you're having fun again, because then, you know, when you're having fun, your readers are going to have fun. I think that's personally, I think that's more and more my lesson this year for, you know, for writing is like when you're having fun, that's when you know in the right spot. If not, there's something that's got to be fixed. So I just think that's really, really good advice. So that's awesome.
Yeah, man, I agree. You gotta have fun. I mean, There's so much stuff that we do as writers in the background that nobody will see because it's, the long nights and the long miles and the long driving and all the record keeping and all the long emails and newsletters. And I mean, all that stuff goes on and on. Like, people get to see the cool, fun part, meeting us and signing stuff, but there's so much other behind it and editing that's just not fun. So, you definitely always got to have fun and remember kind of why you started, but definitely enjoy the process because, I mean, otherwise you're just beating your head against the wall trying to get a deadline done. You know what I mean? It feels like a job. And no one wants that.
Well, I had like a bet with a kid at school who's like, I'm really tight with. He's like, dude, you got like almost like a week, right? Vacation for then, like, before, that was before I got like sick, really bad with the flu or whatever this new flu virus is. I definitely had that. I haven't been this sick in like since COVID first hit, and it was like before COVID, but I definitely had, I thought I had the flu. So I haven't been that sick in like almost like, 5 years. And I was so close to finishing. I was so close to finishing. I told him the other day, he goes, double or nothing. Okay. So we're trying to figure out when my end date is. I was like, dude, I was so close. I was like, if I wasn't sick, I'd be done already. And now like work started and I had to like, climb back to the top. I'm just like, oh my gosh. But yeah, I'm like, but I'm, it's like fun again. I'm like, I know I'm on the right track. So I'm like, ready to do this thing. So I totally agree. But it's like, sometimes it gets very difficult up the mountain. It's like the iceberg theory, right? For world building. I think that somebody on, when I was on here was like, hey, it's like 2 seasons ago. They're like, oh, being an author, particularly indie, is like, really any author, I think, but like, indie in particular, where it's like, it's the iceberg, right? You're only seeing the top of what people are doing, but really there's all the rest of that 90% of the work that nobody will ever see that you're doing, right? Or nobody will, even notice half the time, right? But it's like, it's really important stuff. So I think that makes total sense. Now, what do you focus on the most when it comes to world building? Because you mentioned a little bit in question three, but like, what is like the main thing you focus on, or maybe the main thing that you start with? Do you start with a map?
No.
I'm
So
just curious.
I'm
I don't
bad.
either.
I'm terrible at that. Most people are like, oh, you should do a map. It makes sense, and I don't know why,
It's hard.
but
It's
I
hard.
it is. So I generally write like the first book in a series or the world, and then I will have to go painstakingly back through the book, and then start building the map. Run there and then stretch out. It takes so much longer. It's not very proficient doing it that way, but it's hard to start like a map from just anything. I mean, I love making them, but the map alone for my Spicy Romancy series, it took 120 hours, and that was like every night. And staying up till like 3 or 4 in the morning every weekend for 6 months and writing the 800 page, the 600 page, I think it is. It's like 100,000 word novel. So, I mean, it just is so time consuming, And if it was just me, it'd be different. But having
I
kids
totally
and
get
dogs and
that.
yeah, I mean, you only get so many hours in a day, like you're kind of stretched on what you can do. So
I have trouble waking up at 5 like some authors. Like I decide to stay up later. I'm better at staying up later than I'm getting up earlier. So I'm like, I guess I'm just going to be tired for the next couple of years. A lot of coffee. Buy a lot of extra coffee.
eyes.
Yeah, my kids are always like, "Were you writing again?" I'm like, "Somebody's got to do it. You guys aren't gonna, write for me." So it's like, someone's got to do it. So I always tease my wife and my son. I'm like going off right. I'm like, "Who's gonna write the New York Times best-selling book today?" And then they're both looking at me. I'm like, "I guess it's me." And then that's what I do. Look at that.
Yeah, well, Brittany normally she'll wake up kind of halfway through the night, well, through the week, and she'll be like, "Go to bed. You're still awake. Go to bed."
That's like
So,
before my son was born, I was just pounding the keys, man. That like 11, I had, it was like, I have a 10 and a half days that, before his due date. So I was just going. Like, I got like almost 52,000 words of like a military mech sci-fi that I want to go back to. But at least I just like word vomited. I was like, I got this thing. And my wife, she was like, how many words did you write today? I was like, I wrote like 13,000 words in one day. Like, my brain hurt, man. But so, when you just got to do it when you have time, right? So, yeah, I totally get that. I do agree with you, though. I have like a this really fun just like D&D fantasy style like series from one of our old campaigns that I would love to go back to. That I was a player and I had these cool characters. I was like, I'm just gonna do something with them. Well, I like started in one spot of where we were in the campaign, in terms of like maps, right? Just to like as an example for world building for people. And then I was like here and I was like, well, this is where it takes place. And I was like, okay. Then I got the cast of characters, and then I was like, well, who's over here in this country? And then I was like, who's over here? And so I kind of like started in one spot. My friend, he's like, you're like a mole or like, or a mold or like a virus. He's like, you started in one spot and then kind of grew from there. And I'm like, it totally did. So Emily Inkpen, I had on season one, I think, and Jay Swift, JW Swift, and they both were like, yeah, I go here. And then I write some of the story and then I slowly start to expand. So ever since then, the last like 4 years, that's what I've done. And it's so much easier because I used to want to do the map first. It's so hard. I like stopped writing books because I couldn't do the map first. So that's just my advice to people is like you said, like it might be hard, right? Even if you go somewhat through whatever it is you have, I think go small personally and then go out. Ever since I switched to that method, it's like I've started to finish things and I think it's been a lot better. So it has not kept me from writing now like it used to. So I think like again, try whatever you can, you know, to make it work. So
Yeah, I mean, everybody's different. I know maps are a huge kind of all thing that people like love maps so much that
yeah.
generally everybody asks about maps because some people can make them, some can't, you know, but people love them. It's a kind of a common ground. And
Yeah.
I love making it, but trying to make a map before the story, oh my God, I wouldn't try it. I just tried my Spicy Romantasy series, and I was like, "Nope, I'm just gonna write this." And then, you know, if I need to adjust the story after the map's done, I can always do that. But I mean, I do try to build like myth and lore, you know, mythology and lore, and just different cool things that I can write a story in my maps. So generally, when I'm after the first book, generally I'm thinking, all right, well, what would be cool as a reader or someone looking at the map, and you know, what kind of story can I write? Because my long-term goal is to write 300 books in the world of Azern and 300 books in the world of Umbria. So I try to make it as encompassing as I can, just to make it, you know, to write those massive stories and fill them. And they did the same thing in Dragonlance. I mean, it's 40 years old this year, but you know, they made a massive map, and then they made a massive map at, before the Cataclysm, and all the things changed. And I mean, I was always inspired by that. I was a kid. I was like, you know, these people made this cool map. I want to do the same.
Well, it's like there's like times where like I have two different fantasy worlds, and one I'm like thinking like I'm just gonna go here right now with a couple of continents here, but like I'm like later on I might add more, like if there's more, right? So like maybe these people are, maybe I'll do like a Colombian exchange sort of thing in a fantasy world, you know, or you know the Robert Jordan thing, you know, so you know like I don't know, there's like all sorts of ways I think you know you can kind of you know get around it or add things like dated over time or like you said like different events and stuff, so I think that's like a really good way to do it. Speaking of cool things, Ryan, what type of magic can readers expect from this series?
So my magic is based upon scrolls, teachings, and it also has a lot of the elements, you know, wind, air, fire, I think earth and water. There you go, because the four like airbender elements.
I love that. That's one of my favorite like elemental systems, so that's awesome.
Yeah, I love the show too, and the new series on Netflix is actually pretty good. They've done a
Friends, yeah.
really good job.
I got slammed when it came out. I was like on episode three. I keep forgetting I gotta go back. But yeah, I was enjoying it. Yeah, it was good.
They did a really good job with it, and I always liked, I thought it was cool magic came from, you know, the four basic kind of grounded. And I was watching Brandon Sanderson, I think it was, but it was kind
Oh,
of an
his lecture.
interview. Yeah, I watched his
He
lecture
did
and
a great job talking about the magic system. Yeah, I was
he
like, I
did.
blew me away.
Yeah, man, and he's got another one too, because I watched that one, and then he has another one on, it's like a 3-hour one, and it but it talks a lot about the magic system, like they go in depth. But and I think it was cool how, you know, he had a very good point. He was like, Your magic has to have a failsafe. Like, it's got to have an even balance, because no one likes just this all powerful person that can use all the magic and always wins. Like, at some point, he's got to like die or suffer or something. You know what I mean? So the four kind of root elements, like Airbender did in that, and then you tie that with scrolls, that kind of gives it that balance. And then, you know, going back to Dragonlance, I mean, if you remember Raslan's and Cameron's The Two Brothers story, I mean, how they did the magic on the goat, what was it, goat skin, and the scrolling and that, the ink. Yeah, so I always thought that was cool, and it gives it kind of that perfect balance. But I did create my own magic. I created my own magic system, in all my series I have so far.
Oh, that's cool. I just love that. Speaking of Raceland, like, I thought that they did a really good job where, right, like, we're, and sorry, guys, it's spoilers, but again, it's like 40 years old, so sorry. The Trojans don't win the Trojan War. Sorry, guys. But like, where he has, he gets this really cool extra power, essentially, right? With that ability, right, to kind of, foresee the future, and he gets the gold skin and, a little souped up, but he also loses that ability, right, where he gets really sick really easily, right? So I think that's like a really good balance, right? Like, he's super powerful, but the cold could knock him out at any minute, right? So I always thought that was like a really good balance, of power. It's like, you're gonna have this amazing power, but you're losing a lot of your bodily autonomy there, with his coughing and stuff like that. So I just think that there's some sort of, like Brandon would say, right, some sort of negative consequence for being that powerful, because it doesn't make sense if he's like Cameron, where he's so big and bulky and becomes a battle mage because he's gonna be unstoppable, right? So I think that that was like a really good way to show the balance of magic in particular, for the series. So that was, in the world building, was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, and I really try to kind of strive for that balance, just because everything I loved about Dragonlance and everything I've read before, and then, you know, listen, Brandon Sanderson podcast and interview, he did a really good job explaining it. And even, you know, as writers, we try to get better with each thing we write and publish, and things like that. And so when I wrote my Spicy Romancy series, I tried to even do the magic system better, just to improve on
Oh,
from the
it's cool.
Flayer Chronicles and improve on everything I learned. But I always love magic. I think magic's really fascinating in kind of every realm you live in, you know what I mean?
No, I totally agree. I'm always thinking, like, what, like, for me, it's like, I don't know, like, I go back and forth. There's some magic systems like Brandon Sanderson's, like Aloe of Law, right, where I love knowing what's happening. And then there's other ones like Tolkien, where I'm like, I don't know, I'm okay, as long as it's cool and cool characters and they're doing cool stuff with it, and they're not like too souped up, and there's some sort of, real world or magical consequence, or like loss of mana or whatever, like Diablo 2 or whatever. As long as it's fun and it makes sense, like, but after that, sometimes I'm just like, I just want to escape, right? Like, sometimes I'm like, don't explain to me too much. But then other times I'm like, oh, this is really fascinating, and I like that people come up with like their own systems and try to make it unique. So I think that's a really cool idea. So now, if you had one character that you would want to have your back on a quest, who would it be from your books and why? If you had to choose your Samwise Gamgee, who would you choose and why?
I
Favorite
would
child
definitely.
moment, Ryan.
Right, I know. So, a fair one. I would say, well, there's a couple, but they're spoilers, so I can't give them away. But the one I
That's
can give
fair.
away
It's hard, yeah.
is just really Daniel and Brock Tree would be a tie. Trish is pretty cool too. So, just because, I mean, Broxry is a cool legendary warrior, and you know he's got a lot of history. And as you read my series, you kind of see that brother's bond. And I thought that was cool, would be cool to show when I was writing the whole thing, like to show that, you know, that brotherhood is deeper than blood. It can be anybody that you're friends with. It doesn't have to be just blood family. And Broxry kind of carries that trait along
That's
with
cool.
him through the whole series, you know. And Daniel, of course, him being my younger brother in real life and mirrored after that, it'd just be cool to be the family. But him and Broxry spare they share that kind of special chemistry, brotherhood, and what honor means, and really being there for each other like a true friend and true brother would. So
That's cool.
that's great.
That's super cool. My best friend was like, talked about these two characters that I'm like writing. It's like a Lethal Weapon fantasy Mission Impossible style odds mashup. And he was like, oh, like he read a little bit. He's like, oh, this sounds like you and me. I was like, oh, this is totally you and me, but pretend we didn't like each other at the start. Like, like Lethal Weapon style, right? Danny Glover, Mel Gibson. But it's like but it's the same thing, right? Like we're always trying to capture that, Aragorn and Boromir romance, I think, or Legolas and Gimli, So that sounds really cool. That's awesome. Such a good answer. That's great. I know we're running down on time a little, but I want to make sure that we leave enough time for this last question to make sure that you tell us any news, updates, current projects, anything like that that you can share with us before we head out for today.
Yeah, so I'm currently trying to number one, I've got fantasy music. I've written a whole CD of
Oh,
fantasy
sweet.
music. So if you love some dragon music and dwarven music, it'll be coming out. I think the first song's gonna drop in January, but then the whole album will release a couple tracks, then the whole album will be released next year. And that'll be streaming online everywhere. So on Instagram, you can use it, Facebook,
Oh, cool.
YouTube, really anywhere. And you'll hear it on like iHeartRadio and things like that as
Oh,
well.
cool.
So that was all written by me.
That's awesome.
There's several still trips next year planned and tours, festivals. Book three hopefully should come out. I know everyone's been waiting on book one and book two. Hopefully that whole mess is situated and settled
We
soon.
are in the future, Ryan, for this podcast, so I'm so hoping that by now, like in a couple weeks, right? I'm hoping by now, like it has been solved for you, so.
I hope, man. I hope it's been kind of a rough journey. So, and people's really, really desperate, really wanting to see book two and read it. I mean, I send my newsletter over 1,000 people, so people are
Oh,
really,
wow.
really, really looking forward to what's gonna happen next in the ventures. We've got the novella from my Australian publisher coming out next year, and then I'm also hoping to have the journal come out. I've written half of that, and then my mom's writing the other half from a mother's
Oh, that's
perspective.
awesome.
So I wanted to really incorporate her and that, women's side, and give that respect to the whole process of giving birth and having kids and how hard that can be, from a woman's perspective, because I know it's a lot different sometimes than guys, the other take.
If we could switch, I told my wife, I was like, we had like it's so difficult with our first like my son, and I'm like told my wife, if we could flip, totally do it. I was like, it kind of sucks that you don't have that option, right? Because you have to just watch them go through it, and there's like only so much you can do. I told my wife, I was like, you get me the little guy, and I'll take care of it, and I have, but it's like, yeah, it is very difficult to just be the one sitting by, and I can only imagine from their perspective being the one doing all of that, right? And then having to recover. So I totally get that.
I agree, man. And I've got a lot of women that read my series, and I got a lot of women and moms and teens and things like that that read really all my work, watch my newsletter, a lot of teachers, podcasters, bookstores, different things. So, and then in my Spicy Romantasy series, I've got an actual, well, she's a senior, but she's going into college for creative design and art. So she's going to read it and hopefully do the cover for my Spicy Romantasy series.
That's awesome.
I'm hoping to have that out next year as well. And then that Dwarf and Dragon novella, hoping to have out next year as well. So yeah, a little bit of everything.
Send Ryan coffee, guys, or caffeinated tea, any of those things. He will need them.
Yep,
That's awesome.
I do. Before we go, man, I do one thing too. I've been trying to, I love helping people. I love helping businesses and supporting the little guy in the local communities. So, two things. I have many figures from Dragon's D in Tennessee, in Clarksville, Tennessee. They made figures of my series,
Oh yeah,
but
those are so cool.
yes, and their shop is really cool. So you like Warhammer and Dwarf and Dragons and. They do D&D games down there. I mean, it's just really cool. It's a neat place. It's a local business. Great couple guys that run it. It's just amazing. And the other thing for everyone watching, Support Daniel, his podcast, support all the local people in your community, your teachers. Really, when I was growing up, if you didn't know your brother or whoever was in your local hometown, you didn't get nowhere. So everyone just support your local people. And there you go.
Well, I appreciate that, Ryan. Speaking of supporting people, though, so everybody should just take a moment. We're going to refocus, right? Make sure we are supporting. So go down anywhere we are watching or listening to this podcast episode, and please make sure you go and check out Ryan's social media and book links right away. Give him a follow wherever he's at on any social media platforms. Everything will be down there for you guys. I just want to also remind people that reviews are really the thing that we're trying to push for all of our authors and our other creatives as well. Reviewing something for Ryan will help everybody, like he's talked about some different people in the process. So again, that's going to be our main focus for this season. So if everybody could just, keep focusing on that as much as possible, it would be much appreciated. So Ryan, thank you so much for coming on. This has been great. I also want to just point out Ryan's one of the people in my podcast group on Facebook who's always very welcoming, is always sharing, always liking. And I tell a lot of people too, Ryan, that they should join. And you're like a core group that I always reference. So I really appreciate, everything that you're doing. Also, I know you got a lot going on, and it's crazy that you're one of the people that are always, being super awesome on like every welcome post. So I definitely appreciate that. So I definitely want people to come, check your stuff out, give you a follow, and do whatever they can. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, hey man, I appreciate you and I appreciate all the readers and really everyone. It takes a village. I had six brothers and sisters, so we're all in it together at some point, it takes everybody. So I
That's
like helping, I like giving back, and I love what you're doing. So thank you guys for and thank you for having me and thank you everyone for following me and everything you're doing.
perfect. Well, Ryan, thank you so much. I know I'll definitely talk to you soon on social media, my friend. But
Yeah.
other than that, my friend, I hope you have a great rest of the night. Good luck with everything. If there's anything else I can do, just message me. Sound good?
Yeah, I appreciate it. If you need anything,
Perfect.
just let me know, okay?
Appreciate it. All right, my friend. Well, you have a good night. I'll see you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.